What's going on, successors? Welcome to another episode of Speak Your Success in the Morning. I hope you're having a phenomenal and amazing and terrific and wonderful and splendid Tuesday, all right? Okay, today is Tuesday, January 13th, 2026. Y'all, we're getting into the year. We're rolling right in. We're rolling right through. And I'm so glad to be spending this time here with you. My name is Jonathan Jones. I am the host here on Speak Your Success in the Morning. And currently, we're 8 minutes after the hour. And y'all, I'm glad to be here with you this morning. All right. So last night, man, shout out to all my parents. Last night, I had a little struggle trying to go to sleep. And I'm rolling over and I just couldn't go to sleep. And I have no idea why I couldn't go to sleep. But for my parents out there, surely thereafter, my baby boy, you hear him crying, you hear him moving because he's congested. And just the change of the weather, the change of the temperature, it's just not kind to his nostrils, okay? So my wife and I had to go wake up and, you know, help him out, clear all that situation out. But, man, shout out to the parents, all right? All my parents out there, shout out to y'all because y'all are doing amazing work. Shout out to y'all because without you, these babies would go to school with their hair looking a mess. Without you, these babies would go to school with an ashy face. Without you, these babies wouldn't be getting fed in the morning. And their uniforms wouldn't be ironed and they wouldn't have clothes to wear. And they wouldn't even have a way to get to school. So because of you parents, you are the real MVPs this morning and this week. So if nobody told you lately, let me be the first to tell you, you're doing a great job. And if nobody told you, let me also be the first to tell you, just keep it up. Right. Keep it up. Because I heard what the years are long, but the days are short, but the years are long. No, the years are long, but the days are short. I think that's the way that quote goes. So love your kids well, even when they're on your nerves, love your kids well and just keep on pushing through. All right, family. So typically how we start here. Well, first and foremost, I want you to know that here on Speak Your Success, the goal that we always have for you is to make sure that you learn something and not just learning something for you, but learning something to where you can take it away. You can pour back into your community. You can pour it into somebody that you know. You can pour it out so that somebody else grows. So we're going to provide you here with education. We're also going to provide you with a little bit of empowerment. And then lastly, you know, we got to give you some entertainment here on the show. All right. So let's go ahead and dive in without further ado. Last night for dinner, what did I have? John, last night for dinner, I had some nachos. And I'm excited about the nachos that we had last night, because it took us about 2 weeks to get these nachos. And the first reason was we tried to do nachos. We melted the cheese and it looked like it was not moving in the pot. Okay, you might say, John, I don't think that's the issue. Well, it was, because after we let it sit for a little bit, like I know cheese, it doesn't necessarily get firm right away, but the cheese wasn't moving and it was thick. And I'm like, whoa. I don't think cheese is supposed to look like that. My wife was like, yeah, we're not eating that. She said, I'm not eating that. You can eat that if you want to. And I was like, I wanted to, but I couldn't. So last night we made nachos and I was excited because we had pico on them and everything like that. So last night was a good night for me. You understand me? Terrific and amazing nachos last night we had. But now what I want to do, I want to get ready to transition. And I want to transition to, for our time today, we're going to be doing straight from the source. And what we like to cover here on Straight from the Source, we like to bring some biblical texts in conversation to talk about the Word of God so that we can know what's God saying to us, so we can know what we can extract from the Word of God and how we can go ahead and grow. And today, I want to talk about just the power of affirmations, the power of a father's affirmation specifically. So I'm going to go ahead and play this clip from Tim Ross, and we're going to come back and we're going to unpack it.
When Nathan was 2, I started giving him words of affirmation. And I would tell him, everything I tell you, I need you to say, I receive it. And so I'd look him in the face and I would say, I love you. I receive it. I'm pleased with you. I receive it. You are good. I receive it. You are gifted. I receive it. You're okay. He's 17 and he's still like, where's my words of affirmation? Because he gets it every night. I've had to do that on nights where I didn't believe nothing I was saying. Because this fool lied all day to her. face. I'm pleased with.
Pause. Okay, so look, we're keeping the trend going with the parents. And if you are a parent, you know that there are some times to where your children can make it so difficult for you to love them. But here he's saying, my son is looking for that affirmation and I still need to give it to him. Let's continue to play the clip.
You, I will be choking on that word. I'm like, after everything you did today, and God's looking like, tell him. And I'm like, oh, this is so hard to say today. And he was like, I believe that about you. On your worst day, you can just cover better than him. He's 9, you're 43.
Like, even, and I'm like,
God speaks the same thing over us that he spoke to Yeshua. Matthew chapter 3, Jesus is baptized by John. He comes up out of the water. A voice from heaven declares, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. Affirmation, validation, right? And I'm like, oh, snap. Pun intended, Jesus is wet behind.
So look, Tim Ross is about to go in and really break this thing down. But it is amazing to know and understand the value of what your words can bring for your children. It's amazing to see, even now for me personally, right? When I see my son color something, he's like, look at this, daddy. Look at this, daddy. Look at this, daddy. And I used to say, I'm so proud of you. I'm proud of you. Man, I'm so proud of you. But now I started to shift it a little bit. I still will say I'm proud of him if he does things that, you know, he's been challenged with. But at the same time, I also will say to him, are you proud of yourself? Are you proud of yourself, buddy? You should be proud of yourself. You did a great job. You really should be proud of yourself. But look, Tim is really about to go in and break down the scripture with Matthew 3:17. So let's listen real close.
The ears in ministry. He's done nothing. There's no water's been turned to wine, no deaf ears have been opened, no blind eyes have been opened, no lame has walked, no lepers have been cleansed. And yet God says, you're my son and I'm pleased with you, before he does anything, which means everything that he does now, subsequent to that affirmation, is because he is loved and affirmed, not to get love and affirmation. So the greatest days of my life are when they actually believe it. I don't stop saying it, but on the days where they actually line up with what I've been saying, I'm like, oh, this is how you be. Ephesians 2:10, we are Christ's masterpiece. You've believed that about us since the day we were born. The greatest next day is when we believe it. Like, we finally line up with God. I believe everything he said about me. I need to line up with what God believes about me. And I learned to do that through my sons.
Man, powerful, powerful video there. And the question now I have for you is, just as Jesus is told by God that, you know, you are my son, who I am well pleased. And knowing and listening to what we just heard in the clip, this is being said after nothing has been done, right? After Jesus has not even started his ministry. He was brand new in the ministry, but still, God is letting him know that this is my son who I am well pleased. You are a masterpiece of God, just like he said, because he created you. Apart from your works, you are wonderfully and fearfully made, like our text tells us. So therefore, that in itself makes you special. You are a partaker of Christ. You are a joint heir with Christ. Today, I want you to be encouraged. I want you to be challenged, but I want you to lean in and I want you to ask yourself, do I believe what God says about me? Do I believe the promises in the Word of God in the Bible? Do I believe that I am really, do I believe that God is really pleased with me on my worst day, on my best day? Because so often, if we don't really get to the Word and we don't read the promises of God and we don't take time in Scripture, the world will pull us the opposite way, make us think that we're worthless, make us think that we're less than, make us feel as if we're not good enough. But family, I have a word for you today. Be affirmed by the word of God. And then continue to read it, even if you don't believe it. Continue to speak it over yourself. Continue to speak it over your children. Continue to speak it over your spouse, even when they're not their best selves. Because at the end of the day, this is where grace enters the chat. And I don't want to go off on that tangent because I want us just to stay here on affirmation. Knowing and understanding the value of affirmation in your life, for your family, for your kids, all right? Family, that's been straight from the source this morning. Shout out to Stream Studios and shout out to Tim Ross for giving us that content. I'm going to go and watch that interview in its entirety a little bit later because that was some good stuff, okay? I really like the way that he put that in. Shout out to Tim Ross, what he's doing with In the Basement and everything like that. So kudos to him. Now we're going to shift gears. And we're going to go ahead and transition to Speak Your Success Sports. And today, what we're going to talk about, y'all, wild card action, okay? The Houston Texans, 30 to the Pittsburgh Steelers, 6, okay? Houston, hey, y'all showing us something this year. Y'all are really showing us something. Y'all are saying, hey, we need to be seen. We're forced to be reckoned with. What's up? What we got going? So the Texans really dominated Pittsburgh and they smothered Aaron Rodgers, all right, and cruised into their divisional round. And, you know, the defense was really the story last night, forcing turnovers, including a pick six, and keeping the Steelers offense in check all night. So that's tough. And then in other wild card action, there was Los Angeles Rams, who defeated the Carolina Panthers 34-31 with a dramatic late TD to win and advance. And then, like we talked about yesterday, the Patriots 16 to the Chargers 3. Strong pass performance with the late scoring drive, okay? So, hey, so we got the Patriots in there. We got the Rams in there. We got the Texans in there. It's all stacking up, man. It's all stacking up. Drop down in the chat. Who's your team? Like, who you going for? Who you rooting for? Who you think is going to just really surprise us this year and take that thing with the NFL? Because I'm personally curious to see, because the Texans are looking pretty good right now. All right, Texans are looking pretty good. Now I want to talk a little bit about basketball, NBA. Okay, so the Jazz over the Cavaliers, 123-112. Utah bounced back from a tough loss led by Keontae George with 32. And Lauri Markkanen, double-double. Okay, then we got the 76ers, 115 over the Raptors, 102. 76ers jumped out big early with 80 points at halftime. And, hey, they held on just to beat Toronto just by 13. Then we got the Pacers over the Celtics, 98-96. All right, big upset in Eastern Conference action there. And then the Mavs, 113 to the Nets, 105. The Mavs finally snapped the skid with big scoring from Mr. Cooper Flagg. Then we got the Kings over the Lakers, 124-112. The Kings really shot lights out to really give them that dub over the Lakers. And then we had the Clippers, 117 over the Hornets, 109. All right, so good action there, big action there. And now, y'all, what I want to talk about today, I want to shift gears. And today, what I want to get into is some clips that I found the other night, and I was like, is there truth here? What are our thoughts? And then on top of that, how should we progress going forward? If we know this to be true, right? Teach Me Tuesday. If we know these things to be true, how will we progress going forward? It's just the best way that I can put it here. And I want to get into it. And then I want you to share your thoughts. I want you to share your opinions. I want you to share your feelings down below in the chat, because I want to see and I want to hear from you. Are they on to something here, or is this cap, as the kids say? Is it cap? Okay, so now we're going to go ahead and play this clip just talking about ultimately what do black people own? Okay? Like what do we own? So often we hear the fight for we should have ownership, or you know, we either had this and they took that from us. I'm just going to play the clip And then we can come back and we can unpack it after this. And this was from a podcast that I like to listen to, hosted by Xavier Miller. And let's go ahead and play the clip, and we'll come right back just momentarily. Okay, here we go.
So I was at a family office conference, and if y'all don't know what a family office is, it's generally a family that has accumulated some wealth, generally more than $50 to $100 million, and they manage everything themselves. Okay, so we're at this conference, and the guy, he says to me, he's actually an Indian guy, and so he says, you know, Indian people, we got a couple things. We got motels, corner stores, you know, like gas station type deals. Vietnamese people have nail shops. Cambodian people in California have donut shops. And he's just like running down the list. You know, Indian tribes got casinos. And then he looked at me, he said, what black people got? And I was like,
pause. What do black people have, right? I mean, because these things are true. She said about the nail shop, talk about the donut shop. What is it that black people actually do have? Like, what is your thought there? Do we have the culture? Okay, let's finish playing the clip.
And then I posed the question to Instagram and Twitter, and I got some reasonable answers back, which was like, oh, we got barbecue, we got this, we like businesses that we do historically in the black community. But the differentiator is we are not in the each one teach one fund and mobilize each other in these industries like what they're talking about. And if you've never seen this documentary, you should definitely go and watch it. It's called
Okay, so let's take a pause. So each one, teach one in our community, and producer Britt and myself have talked about this many times on the platform. And I actually thought about it last night when I heard this clip, and I was like, well, that is true. Like we're not the most focused on succeeding together and then helping and then, you know, making sure that somebody else succeeds. Because even we've seen this even in the black church, right? So often you can look around and you see at the majority of the black churches that I've seen, right? Not even the majority. Black churches that I've seen or that I've attended oftentimes, you see there's one lead pastor, as there should be. But then you say, well, who's next up? And you don't always necessarily see a succession plan in place. You see the main pastor, and then nobody is being groomed to come behind them. So then if something happens, then you're wondering, well, who's going to step up? And then it's this uproar about, I don't know where are they going to go? What is going to happen next? Who knows? So now as we look at this and it's more talking about and around business, how can we improve this, right? How can we begin to either take someone under our wing and we can begin to teach them? We can begin to show them the game. We can begin to make sure that we create a cycle and an environment of success, not just for ourselves, but an environment of success for our culture, for our community. Let's keep going. She's about to talk about a documentary called The Donut King. Let's listen up.
Donut King. The guy was a Cambodian refugee. He comes and he gets a job at a donut shop, and the person starts teaching him the business. And then they gave him some money for a down payment to start his own business. And then once he got it up and running, more Cambodian refugees were coming, and he was like helping them learn the business. He would teach them the business. Then he put them in business. All right, help them go get a lease, help them get financing, all of the things. They stand it up, they pay him back. And then they do it for somebody else. And so at one point there were like 400 donut shops owned by Cambodian refugees. And so I look at that and I say, wow,
400 shops started from one man bringing somebody in, teaching them the business, letting them stand it up, and then paying it back. Okay, let's listen to the rest of the clip.
We do got barbecue restaurants, but when have they ever shared a business practice? When have they ever even shared like the special seasoning that all got season salt in it? Or said, okay, you open another location, I'll help you with the down payment. I'll help you get your lease terms. I'm going to help you because if you've never been in an industry, you don't even know what to ask.
Facts.
So now you got people who are in lease terms that are terrible that you could have helped because you've been.
So now the question becomes, is the issue worrying about competition, right? Is the issue within our community, and I partially know the answer to this, and I'm going to talk about it a little bit in a second, but would you say the issue is always being bred and being raised to be number one? Not being number two, so therefore you're not trying to help anybody else out, but it's always you focusing on my business is top dog, right? You focusing on, I just got to make sure I make it, okay? I just got to make sure my family eats. It don't matter about nobody. I just need to make sure that we eat. So therefore, is it not collaboration over competition? Because the fact of the matter is this, we've seen it even on the greatest level, right? With McDonald's and with Burger King. You can see a McDonald's on one corner, Burger King on another corner. You go up the street, you see McDonald's on one corner, Burger King on another corner. And either way, both of those fast food chains are still eating. No pun intended, right? But they're going to be fine because some people want to go to McDonald's and some people want to go to Burger King. At the end of the day, I think we do need to get to a place to where we share the game. I've heard the phrase that the game is to be sold, not told. But I'm starting to get to a point now to where it's like, but should the game just be more so told? Right? If somebody asked me about podcasting, should I just tell them like, hey, you do this, you do this, you do that, you do that. And a lot of times I do, I guess it's going to be me playing Angel's Advocate, because on some sides, when I sit and talk with people, I will lay out what they need to do to start a podcast and how they can start a podcast and everything like that. But then the other side has been when I give them information, there's only been one person that I've given information in that way. They took it, they ran with it, and then they really applied it. But on the other side, the other people, I've charged for that information, right? I've said, look, you go to Get Paid Podcast and I got a program. Here it is. Sign up. Whoop-de-whoop. And then that the majority of the people who paid, I would say 7 out of 10 people, just for percentages, I would say 70% of people that paid actually got into it and did the work. So the question I have for you is, are you competing? Or are you seeking to collaborate? And I believe there is a space for both to take place. But ultimately, I feel that what they're sharing in the Millionaire Mindset podcast clip by Xavier Miller, what they are saying is that we don't have anything to where it's been so special. And then we share it to make sure that we get our fellow community members on board. To where we can grow, to where we can win, to where we can really flourish together. So drop your thoughts down in the comment. Like, what do we need to do to where we can really, elevate, to where we can really succeed, where we can really win? Is it we need to start sharing business practices? Is it we need to start having community meetings? Is it we need to, you know, have a group to where, you know, we get some funding together, we put one person up, we get them going. And then we circle back and then we do the same thing for somebody else. And I'm not talking about like no pyramid schemes or no giving circles or nothing like that. But like, what are y'all thoughts? Okay. let me know in the comments. What are your thoughts? Because I really want to know and really want to see what you all have to say. Because y'all, I was looking the other day and I saw this group of kids and I began to think like, if we don't show them how to really win and be successful in life, who's going to show them? If we don't tell them what it takes to be successful, who's going to tell them? So if it be kids, if it be adults, in 2026, like now people are trying to figure out different ways and trades to be able to generate just a little bit of extra income. And I'm saying that because at the end of the day, everybody, y'all, we all aren't going to be millionaires. That's just the fact of the matter. And at the end of the day, we all don't need to be millionaires. But I was listening to an interview the other day from EYL, and they were interviewing Ian Schwartzman, who is Joe Budden's business partner. And Ian was saying, this is why I get mad at platforms like you all's, because you all throw out these astronomical numbers. Like, hey, if you all can get 1,000 people to begin to pay you X amount of dollars, then, you know, then this group of people can make, they now can be six-figure earners, right? They now can be people who are really generating revenue at a high level. But Ian began to say, well, why are we throwing out these numbers that are so massive? Why don't we start here? What if you can get 100 people to pay you $20? Right now, you're in a spot, in a position to where you can now cover a bill. You can now cover some household expenses. And this was all around and framing the conversation of people generating revenue from a podcast, or creators generating revenue from their art and from their intellectual property. And the reason why, after hearing this, I really enjoy what Ian said, was because this is true. Like, the fact of the matter is, this is something that is really true, and something that we should actually entertain a little bit more. Like, coming down and identifying that if we're wanting to be successful, success can look like you finding a way, a trade, a skill, a passion, to where now from that you generate an extra $200 a month. You generate an extra $500 a month. You take a skill or a trade that you've learned and you've began to cultivate, and now this is helping you through videography, or now this is helping you through consulting, or now this is helping you now bake and sell good, or whatever the thing is, right? And this now sets us apart from the person who has not identified that thing just yet, or sets us apart in terms of being able to now have a little bit more of breathing room, because we know the average American can't even afford a $300 emergency that comes up. So now we're in a different bracket, not necessarily tax bracket, but we're in a different bracket in terms of being able to provide, in a sense, for a bill, but then also maybe have a little extra money to where you can indulge in pleasures, right? To where maybe you can go out to a nice dinner every once in a while, to where maybe you can, you know, be able to buy your kid a bike or different things like this. So I shared all that to say this. As we go forward, can we begin to think, and can we begin to see where collaboration makes sense, and how we can make sure that the person next to us really has the ability to begin to thrive and succeed in this life? And y'all, I guess I'm saying that, and I guess I'm a little bit fresh this morning, because based on what I talked about, not even earlier this week, yesterday, about having those mentors, right? Indirectly and directly. My guy, Jordan Moore, he's a video director, and he really strongly believes about DaVinci Resolve, about the color grading, about the features, about the benefits. And yesterday I began just to talk with him a little bit about it. And the thing about Jordan is, when you begin to talk with him about DaVinci or videography, then he'll say, oh, okay, I see you're hungry for this information, or I see you're interested, so now I'm going to give you even more. And that's what he did yesterday. He was like, John, DaVinci Resolve got multicam editing. DaVinci Resolve does this, and these features do that, and it's free, and you can learn. And I said, all right, Jordan, send me the video. I'll check it out. So he sent me two videos yesterday. One was on multicam editing, and then the other was ultimately about, it's just a masterclass on DaVinci Resolve. And then I began to take in this information. I began to digest this information. And the reason why I'm sharing that is to say, if you connect with somebody and they're sharing information with you, don't allow that information to be just trampled over and brushed off. Because this is information that could change your situation. This is information that can improve your workflow. This is information that can decrease stress for you. This is information that can now enhance your skill set to where you can go further, you can do more, you can ultimately be more. So to our mentors out there, find a vessel to where you can pour into, to where you can invest in, to where you can help them really elevate. And to our mentees, when somebody gives you information, If you're going to use it and apply it, let them know what you learned from that information after you learned, right? Let them know what you took away and what you extracted. But if you know that you're not going to do anything with the information, let them know. Say, John, thanks. But I just want to let you know, I appreciate what you said with me, what you shared to me today. But I want to let you know, I value you so much that I don't want you to give me any more information until I tell you what I did with what you shared with me before. Yeah. Like let people know. Let people know that you're not out here wasting their time. Like really let people know. Just so they can stop investing in you. And just so they can begin to invest in somebody else who's serious, who wants information, who's hungry, and who desires to do more. All right. So that's a quick little tangent I got on there. But like, I'm serious about this, y'all. Cause we can't really complain and we can't expect to do more, be more, have more when we're not willing to show up for ourselves. When we see a problem in the community and then we begin to pour into that problem, but then we get mad that the community's not doing nothing. Why is that? Well, the community didn't want better. Maybe the community didn't have the tools and the resources to be able to progress and move forward. But we need to start having some real conversations so we can get clear on this information so we all can be on the same page. And now I got one more clip I wanted to share and break down. And then after this clip, we'll also unpack this and then we'll get into it. And this also is another clip from the Millionaire Mindset Podcast. Shout out to Xavier Miller, doing great work, the DFW. So let's roll this and we'll come back and chatter after this.
I had a conversation with a hedge fund. The owner of it is Jewish. We do business now, but one of the first conversations we had, he said, the difference between your community and my community is your community wants to look like it. We just be it. And he said, all of us will live together till we're 30, 35 years old. We move out. We're up $500,000-$600,000 because we've lived together. And I see other communities do that, but I see us, I want to be self-made. I want to be this. Why?
Because when you have these conversations, people think you being negative or harsh. Nah. But I'm like, the reality of it is, and when we talk about our...
Hold on. Self-made. Is that what we want? Do we want to be self-made? Do we want to say we did it on our own? Do we want to not need anybody else, or, you know, not have other people that we need to give credit to when we ultimately make it? Let's keep listening.
Community. Our priorities is just effed up, bro. Like, we last, when it comes to economics and what we doing financially, we in last place. When it comes to having children out of wedlock, like, we have the most. We have the most abortions. We the first to get divorced and the last to get married. The most obese. The most illiterate children in the world. I was reading a study. They say about 50%, 50% of black kids can't read on a basic
That's
level.
That's true.
On a basic
That's true.
A lot yeah, of like, things that comes to the negativities. When we lead them oftentimes.
Yeah, that shit's sad.
But we the first to celebrate too.
Because our parents, no disrespect to our parents who want to see us be successful. A lot of people, parents pay for the athletic training, but you're not paying for the tutor. We not doing nothing at home. We just send our kids to school, bro. The school's made by the Rothschilds, right? Yep. I mean, I'm sorry, the Rockefellers. It's created to create more employees. So if you're not doing anything outside of school to build yourself or your kid up, what you think gonna happen?
Every now and then, I mentor at schools with young kids and stuff, inner city kids. And recently, the last time I was there, I was with this 8-year-old boy. He couldn't read or write at all. I'm talking about
eight. He was third. That's third grade.
Eight. And I'm talking about, I ain't talking about reading no nothing difficult. I'm talking about Cat in the Hat basic type reading. And mind you, he know every NBA young boy, Rod Wave.
Hell no.
Song word for word.
And that shit hurt you.
And that shit hurt me, bro. So, but let me, this the wildest part about it. So his mom comes to the school and I go to her, bro. Cause I'm that kind of person.
As like, you should shit hurt,
I'm like, bro, I ain't on no mean shit. I'm not trying to bash you, but I'm like, bro. Your son can't read. He 8 years old. Like, that should be unacceptable. Like, what do you expect from him out of life? How you going to get a job? How you going to buy a car? How you going to buy a home? How you going to, he can't even join the military.
Sign
if you can't read
deals.
On the basic level. Right. I'm like, that should be unacceptable. You know what she told me, bro? She said, I'm being anti-black and too hard on him.
Oh, I said, bro, she lacked accountability.
Lack of accountability. I'm
too hard on him. He can't read at 8.
My. Okay. So. There's a lot to unpack here, okay? There is a lot to unpack here in this clip. First and foremost, man, shout out to Xavier Miller, man. Kudos to him. I know a few years ago he won the podcast of the year at Cosign Awards. So shout out to him. Shout out to KG Graham with Cosign Awards. Okay. What are we? Okay, so I talked initially about the community. Now let's rewind it back. And now the question that I'm going to propose is this. My teacher used to always tell me, my teacher, Gregory Mitchell, Mr. Mitchell, eighth grade social studies, he would always say, if we don't know the mistakes of the past, we're doomed to repeat them. If we don't know the mistakes of the past, we're doomed to repeat them. The question I have for you is this. In your household, and even with starting with you, right? You, me, whoever's listening to this episode right now. The question I have is, if you've seen something that you don't want to reproduce, what are you going to do going forward to change what you've already seen in your life, right? Our parents did the best they had with what they had, okay? My parents did the best they had with the resources they had, the experiences, the exposure they gave me. But a child not being able to read at 8 is tough, okay? And I'm not going to single out anybody, because I know that depending on the situations and the circumstance, there might be a reason, right? The mom might work 2 jobs, 3 jobs, whatever it might be, to where, you know, YouTube is raising her child or different things. Like, I don't know the exact situation or circumstance. But what I will ask and what I will challenge is this. Is there a place and a time to where we can hone in on something specific to where we can dedicate to better our child, right? I have seen it firsthand because my dad invested money in getting me tutors when I struggled in language arts and I didn't know where to put the comma and I struggled with there and theirs. And then on the other hand, when I wanted to get better at basketball training, then he required me to invest my money in that. But at the end of the day, we as parents making decisions to bring children into this world, we are now responsible for those individuals. We're responsible for those babies. So if we're bringing a child in, now we're no longer the focus of this movie called life. The focus now becomes the children. I have 2 baby boys, right? One is almost 3 and one is 8 months. The focus is no longer just John. And when I was married to my wife before our children, the focus was us as the unit. But then as we brought boys in, now the focus became them. And yeah, are there going to be some things that I'm going to have to give up? Are there going to be some days that I would love to work on my business to where I can't do that until I make sure that my children are fed, until I make sure that I take my boys out and give them some energy to where they can give them some space to where they can get off some energy? Or until I take some time and I read a book to my son to make sure that he's learning something. If we're parents, then this is a title and this is a role and this is a job that we signed up for. So making sure that these children are the best human beings, the best citizens, the best people that they can be, this falls on dad's shoulders. To make sure that these children are disciplined and to make sure that they're protected and they understand the boundaries and the way of the world, this is something that falls on our shoulders, mom. So going forward, family, if you make the decision to become a parent, and then now you have a child that's in 3rd grade, 5th grade, 7th grade, and they're struggling to read and write, and they're struggling with arithmetic, I want to just propose the question to you. Have you identified this already? Have you talked to this child? Have you taken time to work with this child? And this is coming from me. I was a director of our after school program for a few years at a local charter school here in Dallas. And I also was an avid instructor for elementary school students. And I also was a summer school instructor working with different programs here in the DFW. So I've seen parents say, well, why don't you just teach them? Or that's your job. But also knowing and understanding that, ma'am, I only have your child for an hour, 2 hours a day. Sir, I only have your child during this after school program. And I have over 100 plus students. So there's requirement and there's expectation for you also to begin to pour into, to begin to teach, and to begin to make sure that your student, your child has what they need to be successful as well. So I'm gonna get off my soapbox and I wanna hear from you all. If there's a child that is 8 years old, this is the question. Yeah, this is the question for the community. If there's a child that is 8 years old and they cannot read, but they know all the songs, all the dances on TikTok, is that the parents' fault? Is that the school's fault? Who is to blame at the end of the day? Family, I'm going to go ahead and get ready to get out of here. But drop something in the comments. Let us know. Make sure you subscribe to the channel, Speaker Success Media. I'm Jonathan Jones, and this has been Speaker Success in the Morning, y'all. And this is a reason why every day, I take the time. Producer Britt takes the time. We take the time to dive into topics that we can pull, that we can share. This is why we watch podcast episodes and we pull clips and I read my Bible and pull scriptures and pull different things so that we can bring that information that we learn and we can share with you all so then that you can take it and share with somebody else. Because at the end of the day, if we don't learn, teach, and then help somebody else learn, then it's going to die with us, right? We can be as successful as we want to be. But if we're the end of the line of success, then that means that the next person is going to have to start from ground zero. And then they're going to have to figure out a way to learn it all over again, to do it all over again. Let's break this negative cycle and let's create a positive one that allows people to learn, unlearn, relearn, pass it on. Learn, unlearn, relearn, pass it on. Family, I'm going to go ahead and get out of here. But like I said before, make sure you subscribe to the channel at Speaker Success Media on YouTube. And be sure to follow the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, Speaker Success in the Morning with Jonathan Jones and Producer Britt. All right, family, until next time, remember, all right? Speak your success, believe in your greatness, and continue to create the life and business of your dreams. Why would you and why should you live any other way? Looking for timeless pieces that make a statement? Discover the Jewelry Department, where elegance meets craftsmanship. Owned by Miguel Contreras and located at 13505 Mumford Place, Suite 103 in Dallas, the Jewelry Department is your destination for stunning, one-of-a-kind pieces designed to elevate your style. From classic designs to modern trends, we offer a curated selection that reflects sophistication and artistry. Because we believe your jewelry should be just as unique as you are. Visit us today at the Jewelry Department, where every piece tells a story. And let us help you find the perfect piece that speaks to yours. The Jewelry Department, elevating your look with elegance and style. Find us at 13505 Mumford Place, Suite 103 in Dallas.